If Jesus was able to physically stand here tonight in our midst, and he gave you the opportunity to ask him one question, what would you ask him? Now, there's no right or wrong answer to this. Whatever your answer is your answer. But I'd be interested in knowing what you would want to ask Jesus. Leslie? How could he love me so much, okay? Blows you away. All right, that's a good question. What would you want to ask him? Maybe it's the way he did something or allowed something or what this means or that means, whatever. What is your question that you would love to ask him? What's heaven really like? Okay. I think his answer would be wait and see. But that would be fine.
Who's your favorite disciple?
Who's your favorite disciple? Okay, we won't answer that one.
I think it's nothing to do with the incarnation. You know, from the heavens to earth, you know, hardship, the adjustment, something that
okay. What was it like being born? All right. Anyone else? Linda? That would be one that would be on my mind. What would it be like living with your brothers and sisters? Mom always loved you best. That'd be a good one. Anything else? Carol? When are you coming back? And I think the same answer that Sue would get, wait and see. That would be wonderful to know. Ah, there you go. Can I go with you now? That would be interesting, yes. Mine would be, why did you create vegetables? Okay, there. What happened in Eden? All good questions. Now let me change the scenario. If Jesus were standing here tonight and he was going to ask you one question, what would it be? And I will share with you what I think the answer is. John chapter 21, you will find, I believe, the answer to that. We finished up John chapter 20 last week. And what's interesting about what we studied last week, those last two verses, are two verses that would seem to conclude the gospel. There really shouldn't be, after this, any more that John wrote. I've written these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and believing he might have life on his name. I've accomplished my purposes, or purpose, singular. Unfortunately, some people conclude that when they come to Christ, that's it. It's all over. Chapter 21 talks about life after coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. It's a very short chapter that is a very short summary of what the Christian life is all about. But I'm going to suggest to you tonight that this very short chapter exhaustively tells you what Christian living is all about. And a good bit of it is summed up in one question. Start reading. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which would be James and John, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And I think it's no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. And that doesn't mean that he was completely naked. He didn't have his coat on. That's all it means. And he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, or about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153. And Chuck Swindoll in his commentary says, and they were all keepers. And for all that were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. I've just read to you 14 verses, and I'm going to skip for the most part the commentary on them, because I want to get to verse 15 and following. Because here is the question that I believe Jesus would ask you. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, feed my lamb. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walked whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto them, follow me. The question that should characterize everything that we do in the Christian life is, how do I love my Savior? I was thinking years and years ago about when I sin. And I realized then that every time I sin, it's because my love for my Savior is not what it should be. Three times, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? This whole passage is fraught with interpretational questions, that there is difficulty, at the very least, in answering, if not impossibility of answering. Question number one, or problem number one, why did Jesus ask Peter three times, do you love me? Some have suggested that it was because Peter denied the Lord three times. As many of you know, I don't think that's the case. I think Peter denied the Lord six times. And if that is the case, then three times here wouldn't be equivalent to it. But whether that's true or not, it wasn't necessary for Jesus to ask three questions for one activity. Peter denied the Lord. That's it. Wouldn't matter how many times he did it. All he had to do is, Peter, do you love me? And that would have answered the question. So I don't think that's it. So there has to be a different answer as to why he asked three times. Not only that, the question that he asked Peter, he uses different words. The first two times, he uses the verb agapao, the noun form agape. The third time, he asks the question, do you phileo me? There's a difference in those words. And some have suggested that what Jesus is trying to do is to elevate the love of Peter. He wasn't loving him with a quality of love that Jesus was worthy of. Problem with that is there is no difference in quality of love between the two words. In the Gospel of John, John writes that the Father phileoed the Son, and the Son phileoed the Father. That's perfect. They loved each other in that way. So it wasn't necessary that there's a higher love. There is no higher love than they had for each other. So they're not dealing with a quality of love here. So those words have to indicate some other reason for asking the question. Another question that we need to ask, why did they go fishing? Scripture doesn't tell us why they went fishing. But let me suggest a couple of possibilities that might give us some insight when we get over here and they meet with Jesus. You do remember that on the day of the resurrection, when Jesus first appeared to Mary and then the rest of the women, he said to the women, specifically, go tell Peter and go tell the rest of them that I will meet them in Galilee. Get on up there. That's where I'm going to meet them. What did they do? They stayed in Jerusalem, locked up in their room. They didn't obey. Why didn't they obey? Because they didn't believe the women. Consequently, they're out there. Well, the Lord appeared to Peter that day. So Peter knew of the resurrected Lord. He knew that they should get up into Galilee, but the rest didn't believe. And rather than Peter going by himself, he stayed with the other 10. Well, actually with the other 9, because Thomas wasn't there. Thomas says, I won't believe until I, you know, get to see for myself. And a week goes by. So the desire of God to meet with these people is delayed now a week. And then the next week, Peter or Thomas gets to see him. They're all in agreement now that the Lord is resurrected. We need to get up to Galilee. There he wants to spend some significant time with us. Well, it would take him at least a couple of days to get up there. They get up there, and apparently when they arrive, Jesus isn't there. Okay, possibility number one. Peter says, well, he's not here yet. We have some free time. Some time to kill. Since it's our time, he's not here. Let's do what we like doing. I like fishing. I think I'll go fishing. You guys want to come along? And they all said, yeah, let's do that. Might as well. We've got nothing better to do. That's a possibility. Possibility number two, he's not here yet. We have some time not to kill, but to redeem. We've come up here. We could only bring so many provisions with us. He's going to be here with us for a while. We're going to need some food. Surely Jesus himself is not going to be able to go into the marketplace and buy food. We'll have to provide for him. We don't have that much. Let's go fishing. And that way it'll provide for our needs. And if we get a whole lot, we can sell them because we're going to need some money too. That's a possibility. Whether that's the case or not, I don't know. But a third possibility is this. Uh-oh. He's not coming. Maybe our delay caused him to change his mind. and he's not really interested in meeting with us. With no instruction, we might as go back to what we used to do. Ministry's over. Now, I really don't think that is the case. Possibility, but not a probability. Because when they met with Jesus in Jerusalem, the first thing he says is, "Peace be unto you." And he's telling them about waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. So they know there's something ahead of them. So I really don't think that last one is probable. Which of the first two? Well, we'll see. So anyway, they go out, they come back, there's nothing. Jesus tells them about the fish, they catch. And they're now on the shore having eaten breakfast with him. Jesus says to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you agapao me more than these?" More than what? There's another question. Three possible answers to that one. Do you love me more than the other disciples loved me? Possibility. Possibility. Do you love me more than you love the other disciples? Or third possibility, do you love me more than the fish and fishing? Possible. Let's examine it. I don't think it is the last one. And here's the reason why. They go out. Peter's a fisherman, remember that. He wanted to go fishing. Could it be that he wanted the fish for provisions? Could it be that he wanted the fish for money? Could it be that he just wanted to do something that he loved? And all, if that's the case, now they got this tremendous 153 keepers. And when John says, "It is the Lord," Peter says, "Nuts with this." He casts himself into the ocean, swims to shore, leaves 153 fish behind. That tells me that Peter desired the Lord more than he desired the fish. And the fact of the matter is, whatever you love the most, generally speaking, you spend the most time with. Peter wanted to be with Christ. So I don't think when he asked the question, "Do you love me more than thee?" he was asking, "Do you love me more than fishing?" I don't think that's it. But what about, "Do you love me more than the rest, or love me, or do you love these guys more?" And I don't think that's it either. I'll tell you why. Look who's with them. Verse 3. Simon Peter, that's one. Verse 2, excuse me. Thomas called Didymus, that's two. Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, that's three. The sons of Zebedee, James and John, that's four and five. And two others, six and seven. There's four missing. Where were the other four? Left behind? They weren't there. Did they stay behind in Jerusalem? We don't know. Did they just not want to go fishing? Well, maybe that's the case. Maybe they were all there and they just said, "No, we're not going fishing." Whatever the case may be, whether they were in Jerusalem or on the shore, Peter says, "I don't care. If you guys don't want to go, that's your problem. We'll go with whoever goes with me." If he had a love for all those guys, he would have said, "Okay, our unity is greater than what I want to do. We'll just stay together." So I don't think the question was, "Do you love me more than you love the rest of these guys?" I think the question is, "Do you love me with a greater love than these guys have for me?" Now, the reason I would say that's most probable, on the eve of the arrest of Jesus told the disciples, "They're coming for me. take off. Peter said, not me. I will never deny you. No matter what it is, I will stay with you to the death. When he said, do you agapao me? Agape love is a love that is sacrificial. Phileo love is a love that sees a quality in another that's worth having. What Jesus is asking Peter is, look, you said you would sacrifice yourself out of a love for me. How'd you do? Do you really love me? Peter hangs his head. And he couldn't answer, yes, I agapao you, but yes, I see in you qualities that make you desirable to me. And the Lord says, okay, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. He says to him a second time, Simon Peter, do you agapao me? But it's not any more than these. It's just, do you really sacrifice yourself for me? Here you are, and you spent the night fishing. Whether it be because that's what you wanted to do, or whether it be because you thought, well, we're going to need some food, or we're going to need some money, would you be willing to give up any of these things for me? Interestingly enough, what did Jesus just do for the disciples that were there? Fed them with fish that he already had. If Peter went fishing because, well, we got to feed the Lord, he can't go into town and buy his own, I guess he could have. Well, maybe he didn't go into town to buy it, but he got it somewhere. And he was able to provide for Peter what he needed in provisions, food. Interestingly enough, when you get over into Acts chapter 4 and Peter and John are going up into the temple and the lame man is there and he asks and Peter says unto him, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, take up thy bed and walk. Peter is saying, well, we're going to need some money. We can sell these fish. No, you don't. Lord will provide for you. Peter, are you willing to sacrifice these things in order to serve me? And trust me that I will provide for you. Peter hangs his head. Said, Lord, I can't say that I have, but I do love you. I do phileo you. Third time. And now the Lord uses the verb phileo. Okay, Peter, you say you really do love me. Do you? You've made all kinds of statements before. Are you telling the truth? Or are you just saying what I want to hear? Peter was a little provoked about that, grieved, and he said, Lord, you know all things. You don't have to ask me that question. You already know the answer. You know that I phileo you. I've been telling you the truth. I've been honest with myself, and I've been honest with you. Feed my sheep. Interesting. Each time Peter responds, there's a command. But in the command, there are two different verbs that are used, imperatives, and there are two different people that the imperatives are supposed to be used upon. First one, feed my sheep. The word feed is the Greek word bosko, and it means to feed, to provide food to. The word sheep, though, is an interesting or no, it's feed my lambs. The word lambs here is an interesting word. It's only used here in the Gospel of John, and it's only used in the book of Revelation, which also John wrote. In the book of Revelation, when it speaks of a lamb who has been slain, crucified, sacrificed. Peter, do you love me enough to sacrifice yourself? Peter says, no, I blew it. I didn't do that. Peter, did I ask you to sacrifice yourself? In fact, I told you just the opposite. Flee. But Peter, there will be people that will come along in time that will be sacrificed for me. I have a job for you. Feed them. Give them the word of God. And fortify their souls that will make them willing to be sacrificial lambs. Second time. Are you willing to give up these things that you like or you think that are necessary for me? Peter says, nah, I blew it on that one too, didn't I, Lord? But I do love you. And out of that love, the Lord says to him, I want you to feed my sheep. The word feed here is a different verb. It's, and I just drew a blank. Means to shepherd. Poimeno is the Greek word. Poimeno, to shepherd. It includes the idea of feeding, but it also includes the idea of watching over the sheep, of tending the sheep, of shearing the sheep, of going after the sheep when they've gone astray. There's all kinds of care involved. And the word is no longer the word that's found in the first one. It's probata. And some manuscripts have probatatia, which is a diminutive form, my little sheep. And I think what he's saying here is, I want you to watch over those little ones who need instruction in life of how to live. You may not have been willing to give up things for me, but there are coming along those who will. And they need care. They need supervision. And I want you to be responsible for them. Third time, he goes back to the first word to feed, but then he uses this word for sheep again. So you have three different combinations of two different words. I think what he's speaking here, and this time it's not the diminutive form for certain, it's the real deal. I think he's talking about the rest of the apostles. Isn't it interesting how Peter took leadership in the early church? It's Peter that he's talking to. When they went up on the mountain and Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And it was Peter that stood up. It was Peter that went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was Peter on Acts chapter 1 after the ascension of the Lord that said, hey guys, we got a vacancy to fill here. We need to do something. In Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came down, and it was Peter that stood up and preached the sermon. It was Peter in the temple that spoke to the man. In Acts chapter 10, it was Peter that introduced the Gentiles to the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 15 at the Jerusalem Council, when they're all debating the issue of grace and law, it was Peter that stood up and said, here's the answer. To which James says, basically, yeah, Peter's right. Peter took leadership. Turn with me quickly, and I'll come to the end in just a second or two. As you know, when I say I'll come to the end in just a minute, it doesn't mean that. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God. Shepherd, literally, the flock of God. Shepherd the lambs that are among you. Peter said, this is what I've been commissioned to do. I'm not going to be around here a whole lot longer. This ministry's got to go on. And I'm passing it on to these chosen people. Peter learned a lesson in John chapter 21. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. You know I find things in you that are desirable, that I want to be with you. Feed my sheep. Pass on what you know. Well, what about the sacrificial stuff? Verse 18. Peter, when you were young, you went wherever you wanted to go. Nobody told you what to do. You did what you wanted to do. In fact, just last night, that's exactly what was going on. You did what you wanted to do. When you shall be old, so apparently Peter was middle-aged at this point in time, you're going to stretch forth your hands, and another's going to hold you up and carry you where you don't want to go. You won't have control over that. And this he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When it comes to sacrifice, I'll determine how, when, and why. Not you. Leave that up to me. Don't worry about making claims of being great and sacrificing more than anybody else. Just, if you love me, feed my sheep. I'll take care of the rest. And I think that's what Christian living is all about. Do you love Jesus Christ? And if you really do, tell somebody about it. Simple as that. Let's pray, Father. Difficult study and interpretation, but I think a blessed one. Complex, yet simple. And if you were to ask us tonight, do you love me? I hope that we would all say, yes, Lord, even if it's not an agapao love, we at least phileo you, and that's good. And we're so enthralled with who you are, we can't help but tell others. Lord, may you be known in the world today through us, just as you were known in the world 2,000 years ago because of Peter and the other 10. And we'll praise you in his name. Amen. Have a good week.